So 2 weeks ago, what we talked about was, we talked about how all these things that we're seeing on media, we're seeing on the news, we're seeing a lot of conflict, we're seeing a lot of strife, we're seeing a lot of discord. And what we talked about was that there's hope. Because we looked at the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians was two cultures that Jesus brought together. Why? Because he came, he gave his life, and he ascended back into heaven, and he made a way. And so what happened is Gentiles began getting saved, and all of a sudden they're coming into the house of God, and they were like, oh my goodness, we used to hate you guys. They had race wars. And so now all of a sudden, races were getting along, which was the way he intended it in the very beginning. God created all the different races. God created the different genders. He intended it for not for to divide us, but for us to celebrate our differences and what we can bring to it. I don't know about you, but if I have a dish of rice and it's just plain rice, there's no vegetables in it, there's no meat in it, there's no seasoning in it, it gets a little boring, which is why we need to celebrate our differences. Sarah brings things that I do not bring. Renee brings things that I don't bring. Emily brings things that I do not bring. And so we need one another. So, and that's why, like, my husband, he loves to have a myriad of different voices, because you all hear from God. And when you hear from God, we want to hear what he's saying to you, because there's something about a diversity of voices, right? So anyway, so we saw that there was hope, and that was in the book of Ephesians. And we looked at the Beatitudes, and what I kept hearing God say when I was watching the news, or even actually it was even before it got even uglier. And what I was hearing is, where are my peacemakers? Where are my peacemakers? And so Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Right? That means that they're going to look like him in character and personality and everything, right? So he was looking for his peacemakers, but we saw that it actually takes, that the Beatitudes, they go in ascending order. It's like a ladder. It's like a character development. And so right before that is pure in heart. And so we've got to be clean. That means we need to be in right relationship in order that we can be peacemakers, right? And then, so we looked at that. Then we looked at, and we talked about how we want to do it out there. But really, until we start working it in our own home, in our own lives, it's a whole lot of talk and me telling you how you should live your life and me not doing the same. So we had to get the beam out of our own eye before we try to get specks out of everybody else's eye, right? And we saw the same thing in Psalm 55 with David. So then we talked about hindrances to being a peacemaker, which were purity. We didn't have a pure heart. We had pride, and which causes a lack of confidence or boldness, lack of wisdom on how Jesus did it, a lack of knowledge on what it is, and the lack of obedience, of submitting to God. And we talked about being a peacemaker was being wholeness, completeness, harmony of life, inner well-being, irregardless of the turmoil or whirlwind around me. In the midst of the storm, because God is with me, I can still have peace in the midst of the storm. So we looked at what some basic three things that Jesus did, because he is our example. And what he did was he first laid down his rights. There's going to be times in conflict when you have to lay down your right. Then he also moved into the mess. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and we are a messy bunch. And he came into our mess and began to bring order, right? And then the other thing was that he loved us before we loved him. It's love. Love changes everything. Because God changes everything, and God is love. So we looked at that. But so today what I want to do is, this is an amazing tool, and I'm going to try to move this. My gosh. Thank you. This is a great tool. I found it, and a book called The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. This book is chock full of information we won't even touch. But it covers just about any kind of conflict you can have, how you can be an agent of peacemaking, and all that kind of stuff, okay? So when I saw this, the first thing I thought of, because I'm so mechanical, I thought of a tachometer. You know, in your car, you've got the thing that's like the half circle, right? And it's a tachometer, right? And if the RPMs are too low, rotations per minute for your motor, if they're too low, right, what happens? You can stall out. You're going nowhere, right? Hopefully I'm getting this right. Then if they're over here, you can blow up your engine. And you ain't going nowhere, but you killed it. You successfully killed it, right? But if you're in the middle, this would be your optimum, right? This is where you're running at your best. This is the healthy range for your vehicle. And this is how most of us, we're going to look at, how do I, as an individual, how do I handle conflict on a normal, everyday situation? Because the truth is, we can see ourselves all through the spectrum in different situations, but we have a tendency towards one or the other on how we handle it. And one of the things that I saw was that for me, I realized I handled it in the extremes more than I would like to own, more than I would like to admit. And if you look at this section, this is the faith section. These are fear sections. These responses, when we have these sets of responses, it's based in fear. And we still might have fear with the conflict, but if we, instead of going towards fear, we reach out to faith and trusting God, and we follow his steps and what his word outlines, we will handle conflict and we will grow as individuals. Why do you want to know the tool? How is the tool going to be helpful to you? Well, this is what I saw for me. If I know this tool, what happens is I can evaluate myself. I can say, I'm tending towards this direction. That's not healthy. It's not productive. And I'm not going to get conflict resolved. But if I can lean into what God says, I can grow as an individual. And it's not just for me, but it's for my kids. As a parent, a lot of what's happening in our world is because we have not purposefully and intently taken the word of God and applied it to our lives. And instead, as a nation, as a people, we can be in the extremes. And so what's going on out there is a lot of poor conflict interaction. People not knowing how to resolve conflict. So today I'm hoping that you're going to leave here knowing better how you have a natural tendency to respond, but how God wants you to respond. And instead of moving in fear, that you would move in faith. Okay? So we're going to take a look. These three over here, there's suicide, there's flight, and there's denial. Okay? These are escape patterns. We're trying to avoid conflict at all cost. Okay? In denial, I'm just pretending that it's not happening. If you actually look at the scripture reference I'm going to give for it is Jeremiah 8:11. It might be 18:11. I think I'm out of order on you. I'm sorry. And it says, they offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. So it's when I'm in denial, I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. It's no problem. But really inside, I'm offended. And I'm just dressing it up so nobody knows I'm offended. These three are peace faking. They're peace faking. It's pretending I have peace. I'm faking it. Then the other one is flight. The person I thought of with this one is flight is not always bad. Now, if I'm just, I got into a conflict with somebody at church, I'm just going to change churches. Oh, where did you get that? Awesome. There you go. Thank you. Okay, so that was nice. All right, anyway, sorry. So if it's flight, it can be positive and it can be negative, right? If all I'm doing is I'm running away, I'll get a divorce, I'll just get a new friend, I just cut people off, right? I just leave the situation. That's not good. That's not healthy. Because your conflict is still there. And all you've learned to do is to cut people off, right? The other thing flight can be is, Michael and I had this when we were first married. We would get into an argument, and Michael would get in his car and go for a drive and come back when he thought I'd be more pleasant, which is fine, right? Yeah, sort of. But anyway, but it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work because we still had to have the conversations, right? And I'm not picking on Michael because I did some stuff too, okay? So, the other one is the other flight, which is good, is there's time frames when you have to go, I need a minute. Because sometimes people are so much better verbally than I am that I need a minute to go figure out what it is I really want to say. Or you might want me to wait a minute to say what I'm going to say, or I'm going to fillet you, right? So you sometimes need to say, I just need a few minutes, and go take a few minutes. You might need more than a few minutes. I'm going to give you another example, which is there was when Michael came back from Desert Storm. They told us you're going to have the biggest fight of your marriage when the guys come back, and I'm like, who are they kidding? We don't throw stuff, we don't really yell. We say what we want to say, but we don't really yell, right? So I thought, they don't know us. We're not like that. He came back. We had the biggest fight of our marriage. The hugest fight, because while he was gone, we didn't have the communication they have today. I made decisions. I did stuff with the money. And he came home, and all these young guys, they were just banking it. Because they didn't have a wife, and they didn't have a house, and they didn't have a vehicle. So they're banking all this money, and they're all going out and getting brand new cars. And he comes home, and he looks at the checkbook, and he's like, what? What were you doing, right? But it wasn't just about that. It was just about the adjustment back. I also made decisions as a parent that if he had been there, we wouldn't have made the same choices as parents. And so we had this huge argument, and I went and I put the table between Michael and I. And I was yelling. And I said, I've never been so scared of you as I am right now. And his face crumpled. It was like I had punched him the hardest anybody had ever punched him. He just melted. And he just looked at me, and then his shoulders dropped, and he went into the living room, which we didn't have an open kitchen, so he can't see on the other side of the wall. But he went into the living room, and he sat down. And about a couple minutes went by. I'm still standing behind the table. Now, we're not saved. This is how we were. And he says, I hear this voice from the living room, and he said, you can come out from behind the table. So I came out from behind the table. I walked into the living room, and I sat down, and we talked it out, and we worked it out. But he was shocked that I was scared of him. That really bothered him, that I was frightened, because we never had any kind of interaction like that before. But these are the kind of interactions that they are. We needed a minute. And me saying that
He said, we need a minute. And he gave us a minute. And we figured it out. So I commend him for that. That was awesome. Because if he hadn't have done that, I don't know. So, I mean, he would, you know, he's good. Anyway. So the other one is suicide. Suicide. When people are in conflict, I'm not listing all suicides under this category. And unfortunately, I believe most of us in this room know someone or suicide has somehow touched our lives. Okay? But suicide is the third highest cause of death in youth between the ages of 15 and 19. The third highest. And some of it is because they have lost hope in their situation. They don't know how to resolve the conflict, which is why we need to learn and we need to pass on this is how we handle conflict. Because people matter. And I just the idea of people losing hope is horrible. But they have lost hope and they make an ultimate choice. Okay? Over here, these are the attacks. These are the attackers. These are usually people who are confident, but they can also be people who've been over here and who have been so stressed out and pressed by the other person that they will move to this side. Okay? And over here, we're going to look at assault. Assault is both physical, but assault is also slander and gossip. It's verbal attack as well as physical attack. And usually when we get into assault, when we begin to do the slander and all that stuff, we're bringing other people into it, which is really challenging because these other people that we're bringing in, they don't really have a good way of dealing with the conflict. Because you all get over it, and then the person who's been offended for you, who's only heard your side, has a very difficult time resolving it with the other person because they don't have really any in to that situation, right? So there's that. And you know who I thought of here? Was Paul. How many times was Paul beaten, spoken evil of, and all that kind of stuff, right? So I thought of Paul when I thought of that one. Litigation. What litigation is when we get a lawyer, we go to court, right, or an attorney, and basically what the attorney does is, on our side, it's all denial. My client did nothing wrong, right? That's usually how it works. But then on the other side of it is, my client did nothing wrong, but then they'll totally slander and make the other person look completely bad. Why? Because they want to win the case. So it's like, you're good, you're bad. That's litigation when we pretty much go to court. References for that are, we're not going to turn to them, but 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8, and Matthew 5, 25 and 26. Why don't we turn to Matthew 5, 25 and 26? Maybe that one. And basically, on the first one, it's like, hey, you know, don't go to court if you're Christians. It ruins your testimony. Try to work it out on your way to court so you don't go to court, right? But then, oh, is that the one I did? Yeah. When you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge who will hand you over to an officer and you will be thrown into prison. Okay? So there's that one. And then the other one we have is murder. And murder, they're so desperate. They're so desperate to win. This whole section, the whole attack section, is I'm going to wipe you out. You've made me mad, and I'm going to wipe the floor with you. And I'm going to take you out, basically. And so you got murder. And here I thought of the stoning of Stephen, which is Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 56. I also thought of Martin Luther King Jr. for murder. Right? They didn't like his message. We'll take him out. Right? So we have attack and we have escape. Both fear-based. You can wind up over here, either because you're bold and confident, self-confident, or because you've been so pressured that you just go over here because you don't know what else to do. It's like you can't run away. They keep coming after you. So you turn around and you attack. All right, so now what we're going to look at is the faith-filled, trusting God and obedient to his word. Okay, the first one is overlook. We're going to overlook. And in overlooking, it's a personal peacemaking, which is why I put the P's up here. These are just between you and that individual, these three. There's nobody else brought into it. And in overlooking, a lot of times what we're going to do is we're going to say, this isn't really sin. I'm not really being injured. I might be just being overly sensitive. Could it be a bunch of different things? But I'm choosing to overlook, which is a form of forgiveness. Forgiveness without even the person needing to ask for forgiveness. Because you know what? We all have bad days. Somebody might have just had a bad day. You know, I can overlook their bad day. Why? Because I've had bad days. And I would like people to overlook my bad days. Right? So that's Proverbs 19:11. Can we pull that one up? Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Okay? And our next one is reconciliation. And in reconciliation, I can't overlook it. We have to sit down. We have to talk about it. We have to work it out. Right? So what happens in reconciliation is we sit down, we talk about it, and we work it out. And our scripture reference for that is Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Can we go to that one? So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person, and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Okay? All right, next one. Negotiation. Philippians 2:4. In negotiation, it says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. When you get to negotiation, it's not just we need to sit down and work it out. There's some physical, material things that we have to work out. I'm going to be honest, a lot of times I see children whose parents have passed away, and there's an inheritance, and they get all wrapped around the axle about how to divide everything. And so what happens is they can't figure it out because nobody's willing to give, and so they wind up having to sit down and negotiate. Now here, if they can do it within themselves, that's really good because that's like dividing up the material things, right? And we know none of us want, when we pass, for our children to bicker over stuff. And a lot of times when people are bickering over this stuff, it's because there were things in the relationship that they didn't feel were fully fulfilled. And so they'll bicker over stuff. So anyway, mediation. This is the first time you're going to bring somebody else in because you can't overlook it, you can't reconcile it, and you can't negotiate it. So in mediation, which is Matthew 18:16, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So obviously, you've already tried these. Then you're coming in and you're having somebody sit down with you when you can't work it out. And in mediation, there's really no physical property involved. It's just mediation. Okay? So trying to resolve the relationship. Then we have arbitration. This is where there's physical stuff, right? And we need help. And so it's, you know what I thought about for this one? The whole book of Philemon, which is one chapter, right? Because what happens in Philemon is Paul, I'm going to mess up people's names, but he writes a letter to Philemon because Philemon had slaves. And so a slave named Onesimus fled for whatever reason, right? He fled. And so he winds up helping Paul. Well, Paul led Philemon to Christ through his ministry. So Onesimus is a great aid and help to Paul. And so he writes this letter and he says, hey, Philemon, you are doing a great job, you know, being a testimony in your community and blah, 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 blah. And he said, but I'm going to ask you for something. And Paul is really good. If you want to learn how to make a plea, you can look at Paul, how he made a plea, how he petitioned. But what he did was he basically asked Philemon to release Onesimus. Release him as a slave, release him from, apparently it appears that he might have taken some things when he left. And it's like, I want you to count it all on my account, even the stuff that may have been taken. He said, I'll pay for it. You know, if you can't release it and just forgive it, then I'll take care of it. And so Paul sends a letter for that. And to me, that's totally arbitration because he's dealing with stuff, he's dealing with relationship, and he sends Onesimus back to him in the hopes that he'll turn around and send Onesimus back to him, right? But another scripture for that one is 1 Corinthians 6:4. If you have any legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? Okay? Then we have accountability. You've sat down. You've tried to work it through privately. It's not working out. You brought somebody. Still not working out. Right? So now you bring it to the church. Right? This typically has a really negative feel about it. Like, most people don't want to do that. But it actually, if it's handled correctly, can be a good thing. Matthew 18:17. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Okay? So, those are the healthy ones. I don't know where you are, but I'm going to be really honest. The bulk of my life, I've been here. This is my first choice, right? And if I get really pushed, I can go here. But I know that's not how God wants me. There's been some times I've handled it properly, but not as much as I would like to say I have. And I don't know about you, but I know that we could all be better at conflict resolution, whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our kids, whether it's in our community, whether it's in our workplace. We could all improve. And there's so much information about how to do that. There's a ton of information. You can type in peacemaker on your computer and there's like a download. You could type in conflict resolution and there's a download of information. If you really want to do it, you can do it. Some of the things that most people fight about are time, money, personality differences, which most of that's the stuff you can overlook because they're just personality differences, different purposes, different plans, you know. I want to go to the beach. You want to go to the mountains. We can work that out. That's not an offense. We just sit down and say, okay, let's go to the mountains this year, and next year we'll go to the beach or whatever, right? So if you notice, private, these are all private, right? I'm not really bringing other people in. I'm just taking off, right? Private, private, private. Public, public, public. Public when it becomes verbal. Public. And it winds up becoming public with murder. And in murder, we saw the stoning of Stephen and stuff. And if you notice, both extremes result in death. This is why conflict resolution is important. This is why following God's word is important. That we move not in fear, but we move in faith. When we're in the extremes, there's greater costs. It also, we have the classic fight or flight, right? Let's see, what else? Other misunderstandings, poor communication. I can't tell you how many times that happens in my house. I say something, they hear it through a different filter. They say something, I hear it through a different filter. And the whole time we're saying the same thing, right? So poor communication. So that's just something we can work on. Differences in values, goals, gifts, we said that one. Interests or opinions, that's the God-given diversity. Time and money. Sinful attitudes and habits that lead to sinful words and actions. Selfishness, where I'm not looking to the interests of others, right? It's all about me. Respect, I got to have my respect. But we do need to give people respect. And then our friends aren't perfect. I need to be in charge. And if you look, this is about this section here. You're opposing where I want to be, so I'm wiping you out. Right? Over here, I can't handle the pressure. I'm out. I just take off. Right? So, just a couple more things. James 1:19 says, be slow to anger, be slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you look at the word listen, I know a bunch of you already heard this. You change the letters around and it's silent. Right? All the same letters. But listen and silent. Do I stir conflict by my words instead? Or do I encourage them towards peace with others? Let's see. A couple things for conflict resolution. One, acknowledge there is a problem. We talked about that with Jeremiah 8:11, where they say peace, peace, but there's no peace. You have to acknowledge there's a problem. Two, acknowledge your role in it. You might have been perfect. Jesus was perfect. You might not have done anything wrong. But if you have any part in it, you need to acknowledge your part. Right? And then we have forgive. Make sure your heart is right. If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. And we have to give up the right to get even. There's going to be times in your life where people are going to do things and say things about you that are completely untrue, and they're going to slant them to look a certain way, and they're going to hang you out to dry, and there's really nothing you can do about it because they don't care about making things right. And the truth is, you're going to hang on and you're going to hold on, and you're going to trust God to vindicate you in the end. You may not get vindicated on this earth, but at some point, it will be made clear because all things do come to light. So just, you got to hang on, right? So that's really all I want to say. So I'm going to pray for us. Yes.
This is extremely loud and important. Many times from what I've seen with church people, I've been around the church for a little while in leadership, many times what I've seen is that there's generally two responses in conflict. One is denial, and we would like to spiritualize it and say we're overlooking it. But the trademark or the marking of peace is not in a person's heart. You can tell by the peace, because these here have peace on them. I was thinking about the scripture, James 3, verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it is also peace-loving and gentle at all times." So being in denial that there's an issue, doesn't, like Bonnie said, doesn't fix anything. Matter of fact, what it does is it starts oppressing things, and it boils up, and we become like a pressure cooker to where we either explode outwardly and run away. I can tell you, over the years, and any leader who's been in leadership any length of time, because of mishandling of issues, poor communication, not addressing it, so many people run away. And what's funny is over the last couple weeks, I've actually had interactions of some sort with people who have run away. Either I ran into them someplace, or, you know, one, I got an accidental Facebook message. But here's the problem is that it was a denial, more often than not, which kept being repressed instead of being talked about in one of these manners here. And really, these things are progressive. Because here's what the other thing that church people do is that they have a personal conflict with somebody, and they automatically bring the church in and say, they'll come to me and say, "Hey, you need to fix this. So and this guy and I and me had this problem, and they did this. You need to fix this, Pastor." Did you try to overlook it? "Well, no, I can't overlook it." "Okay, that's cool. I understand." "Well, then did you go to them and talk?" "Well, I can't talk to them. But you want me to talk to them." You're going to elevate it almost over here to an extreme when that's not where you're supposed to start. And the problem is, a lot of times, is maturity. Kids, when they have an issue, what's the first thing that they do? They go and tattle. Exactly. Anybody who's got little ones, they start telling on, and they bring mom and dad in. "Mom, dad, you need to fix this." And many times when mom and dad is helping a child, you know, learn how to communicate, learn how to walk in a greater level of maturity, they're going to send them over here. "Well, was it really that big of a deal? Did it really hurt that bad? Was it really that big an offense? You have another toy. Why don't you play with it?" All those kind of things that we're trying to help them. But see, in the culture that we live in today, we are not teaching our children how to reconcile differences or handle conflict. We facilitate it. One of the things that we did is that we would send our children back to try to do reconciliation. And if that didn't work, obviously there's some place where you can step in and you start, you know, I'm not going to step in and handle it right away. I'm going to step into here and try to mediate as an outside authority, right? So these things are extremely important. Like I said, generally with church people, you see denial, and you see bringing in the church to fix all my issues. When really, when it's about maturity, it's sending you back over here. Can you overlook it? If not, then go reconcile it. Because Bonnie said, she read that scripture, before it goes to the church, he said, then you come to the church with this. Well, that means you've done all this first. And so as you're learning how to walk in reconciliation and walk in being a peacemaker, get peace in your heart. But as you're helping people, when somebody comes to you and, you know, "Anthony, you know what Bonnie did? You know what you should do? Have you gone and talked to them?" "Well, no, don't talk to me about it. Do not talk to me. I don't want to know." We need to start doing that, is sending, go fix it. Go talk to them. If you can't talk to them, if it doesn't work out, if there's still an issue, well, then there's some other things that we can do. So we can help people learn how to be peacemakers. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be maturing people around us and then maturing culture. But see, this, what's going on right now in this season is so stinking ugly in the church. I'm watching. I told somebody the other day, I wish there was some kind of filter, because I do not want to step away from Facebook, because I use it as a tool to put my message out, to communicate, all that kind of stuff, to keep up. But I wish I could filter out politics totally. because Christians are questioning the validity of somebody else's Christianity based on political affiliation. What the hell is that? Because that's what that is. That's mixed with hell. My Christianity is about my relationship with God through Christ. It has nothing to do with my political affiliation or persuasion. Yeah. And for somebody to question my relationship, talk about a violation. But that's what's going on. And we're doing it as much as the world, if not more. And then the world is seeing us. They're like, look at you guys. It's not supposed to be that way. We are supposed to be the peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they shall be called the sons of God. And that's a mature son of God, not just a child by name. Because there are Christians by name only, because they have no evidence in their life. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. And that's not what we're supposed to be raising. We have a greater responsibility. And it takes communication. It takes having a heart full of peace because we are spending time with the Prince of Peace. I have Jesus in my heart, then guess what I'm going to have as a byproduct? Peace. If I don't have peace, I need to step back and figure out why don't I have peace? Right? Sorry. That was just too good to...
There's a couple of tools that are good, especially if you have small children. The Bernstein Bear book, Blessed Are the Peacemakers. There's also an organization, I got it years ago, so hopefully they're still in business, but it's called Doorposts. And it totally has a little booklet on when your kids are tattletales. And what to do, and it's like step by step by step. Doorpost has a ton of really good stuff, I think, anyway, but that's just my, I liked it when my kids were little, so I don't know if they still have it, but, so there's a lot of tools out there. There's this book, there's conflict resolution. Same group of people did conflict resolution, bunch of different stuff out there, because I think this is something that we need to put into our own life, and we need to help our kids. No matter how old they are in their own lives. Right, exactly. So I'm going to pray. And then Mel's going to come, right? Okay, all right. Father, we just thank you that you are good. You are so good. Father, I thank you that you're the ultimate peacemaker.